God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I am teaching a sharing that I did January 20th. It was called Spiritual Stewardship, and unfortunately we had technical difficulties, and we lost the recording. So I felt this was an important enough sharing that we should redo it and get it out on the CD for you CD subscribers. So I trust this will be a blessing to you. The subject is spiritual stewardship. And if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. And I want to talk to you about stewardship, about being good stewards. And when we talk about stewardship, we are talking about taking care of your possessions, those things that are yours. So we have all kinds of things that we take care of, and we talk about being good stewards and sometimes bad stewards. What do we have to do to take care of our possessions? I remember the first thing that I ever owned for myself that I bought with my own money. I was in first grade, and my folks taught me to save. And so the first item that I got with my own money was my Prince Valiant shield. This was a shield and a sword. I don't know if you've ever heard of Prince Valiant. He used to be on the comics. And so this is what I wanted, and I saved up. And now I had my Prince Valiant sword and shield. And you know what? I took care of that toy much better than I did my other toys. Why? Because I recognized the cost that was behind it. I had to save up and save up and save up until I had enough to buy it. So this is important. When we see the value of our possessions, we take good care of it. We're good stewards. You know, you and I, spiritually, we were bought with a price of unparalleled value. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That last section's not in the text. But here we see that we're bought with a price. And recognizing what that price was, we glorify God in our body. We take care of ourselves. You know, when I did Romans 10:9, when I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I got born again. I received spirit. It was incorruptible seed that came in me. Let's take a look at that in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll see what that price was that was paid for us being bought by God. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith, your believing and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love and of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, we have incorruptible seed within us. We're born again. And that price that was paid was the precious blood of Christ. And he was ordained before the foundation of the world to pay, to give his life, to shed his perfect blood for you and I, so that we could have the new birth realities living within us. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And it's all because of God's word. We've got that. We read the word and we can believe it, and then we receive from it. So now we should want to be good stewards of the new birth realities. The value of who we are in Christ, boy, that far exceeds anything else that we've ever paid for. You know, our car, our home, whatever it is, cannot come close to the value of what we have in Christ. So we want to be good stewards, good spiritual stewards. Now, I know we have a lot of possessions that we own. We've got all our material stuff, our physical body. We want to take care of ourselves physically. We have relationships, too. We have families that are a part of our life, and we need to take care of those as well. Finances. Boy, that's a big one, especially in our times with all the problems economically that are going on. And we need to be real sharp in that area, as we do in all areas of our life. But most important, by far, is being sons of God, having the new birth realities. You know, I would venture to say that we all have debts of some sort or another. And I can go on and talking about stewardship of our possessions, you know, our physical possessions. And I know perhaps all of us are in debt at one time or another, be it cars, houses, TVs, whatever. But, you know, God's word says that as believers, we should owe no man anything but to love one another. That's in Romans 13:8. But our culture, unfortunately, has so infiltrated our way of thinking that, you know, material stewardship takes precedence over spiritual stewardship. You know, we get so wrapped up into the material side of our life that we've got to spend all kinds of time taking care of it. You know, we're under the gun. But you know what? If we can take care of our spiritual side and steward that, then that's going to help us in all the other possessions that we have so that we can be good stewards in that. The true Christian motivation for wealth is not to have material abundance in excess, but to support the outreach of God's word. You know, that should be the mindset. You know, talking about financial gain and trying to have as much as we want. We all want to win the lottery or have great success financially, which is fine if it's to the extent that as believers, we want to have that so that we can give. And that's the heart of the love of God that we want to walk in our life, is giving. Dr. Wirwell did a wonderful piece of work called The Lifestyle of a Believer. And this is a little pamphlet here, and he deals with ethics and the individual and service. And I'd like to share with you a section from that in light of what we're talking about. Men's hearts are generally set on material acquisitions, but in practice, happiness depends less on what they have than on what others have and they have not. A person never feels the lack of material things of which he has, which he or she has no knowledge. Mere possessions give no lasting pleasure. There is a great new freedom once man has, by his will, released himself from the wheel of things, the Jones syndrome. And I stop here to, you know, remind you what the Jones syndrome is. You know, if your neighbors, the Jones, have it, then we want it too. If they have a pool, then we want to have a pool. So that's what he's referring to. And let me go back to the article here. And has shaken himself loose from the tyranny of possessions. Man's basic human nature has the desire to possess. Lust, greed, and rage are all perversions. God's word says that no one is at liberty just to please himself. He must sublimate, and that's a big word there, which means to change your primitive aim to one of a higher scale. So that's what he's talking about here. He must change his primitive aim to one of a higher scale, his desire for individual possession until it becomes a desire to serve and love and to develop to the utmost this service for others rather than himself. So I think that pretty much sets it. But let's get back to the most important asset you have, and that is the new birth, the Spirit of God that's in you. That is what has lasting benefits for eternity. You know, it's just a token for us so that we know we are bought through Jesus Christ. You know, we have that Spirit within. When we speak in tongues, we know we have that Spirit. We know we have eternal life, and we know that Christ is coming back at any time for us. So let's see what God's Word says about the stewardship of our spiritual realities, the new birth that we have. In the Bible, stewardship is the Greek word oikonomia. The root word of that particular Greek word means house. What this means is this word and how it's used in the Bible is being a manager of the affairs of a household. So why should we be good stewards? Well, first, we recognize the price paid and the value of what we have. Second, we have been called. God has called us. We have a special calling from God, and I'd like to look at three different callings that God has called us with. The first one's in Philippians chapter 3. So let's go to Philippians chapter 3. You know, we're taking a look at God's Word, what it takes to be good stewards. First, we recognize the price paid, the value of what we have. And now second, we need to be recognized that we've been called. God just didn't pay this price and give us Holy Spirit just to sit around and do nothing. But with that, he has called us. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's the motivation. I press, I move forward towards that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have been called with a high calling, and we should press toward that prize of that high calling. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's another calling that we've been called with. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not only have we been saved, but we have a calling by which it is a holy calling. Not just somebody off the street saying, hey, do this. But God has called us with a special holy calling, not according, reading the rest of this verse, to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, God had this calling set up for you and me before the foundation of the world. Unbelievable when you think how great this calling is and how special it is. So you and I are very, very special with that Christ within. We know what the price that was paid. We've been called with a high calling, a holy calling, as we just read here. And let's look at another calling in Hebrews. Hebrews James, chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. God has called us with a heavenly calling. And who is our example? Christ Jesus. He's our example. He has been called, and we have too been called. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So as we steward the spiritual realities, Man, we know the price that was paid, and we recognize that we've been called to do something. So 2 Peter chapter 1, Hebrews, James, Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't know if you remember in Ephesians 4:1, it talks about that we should walk worthy of the vocation. That word vocation is the same word calling wherewith you have been called. That's another exhortation that we walk worthy of this great calling. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Or the word fall means to stumble. The exhortation here is to give diligence to that calling. You know, we've been elected. We want to make that calling and election sure so that we never stumble. You know, why wouldn't we steward the calling in light of it being from the Heavenly Father? Look at the price He paid. Look at the calling by which He's called us to function as His children. There is no greater joy or fulfillment in life than to know that you're born again, a son of God, and that you have fellowship with the Heavenly Father, and that you can walk with Him and for Him. It's not like God's called you and put you on a pedestal, but He has called us to walk for Him. That's how we steward the great realities that we have, that Christ in us, all those abilities we need to exercise. We need to use those. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Wow, what a great relationship to have with the Heavenly Father. And that all comes because we're born again of His Spirit. We've been called by Him. Let's see, we're in 2 Peter. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. The most important things in life are the spiritual realities. And that's where we want to spend most of our time. Yeah, I know we get hooked up into this materialistic world of ours, but man, we need to take charge of our life. We need to give God more and more of our time. Not because we're going to be slaves for Him, but because we are already His children. And we have a sweet relationship with Him. And He's full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. What a wonderful relationship. And we need to, as we understand that, we can walk with God with great joy and peace. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Boy, there it is. We have received that gift. And thereby we are to minister one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, that word manifold means in many different ways. And so in many different ways, we can function with this wonderful grace of God. It's so facets of it are innumerable, God's grace toward us. So as good stewards of God, you know, this includes, as we've read here in this section, that we would have whole thoughts, that we would be sober, right? That we would pray in verse 7 there. And that we would have this fervent agape, this charity. Fervent charity is the agape. That's what we have above all things. The word above, by the way, is the word before. And before all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. That love of God is the foundation of everything we should be doing. Also, it talks about having hospitality in verse 9. So, boy, as we've received this wonderful gift, let's function as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's go 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, please. God's word is so great, and it tells us we're so great that we have these callings, that we have Christ within. My goodness, I mean, we're children of God. So what a privilege we have to steward these wonderful spiritual realities. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Boy, that's a big deal. We all have the responsibility to be stewards of our calling in Christ, and we need to be faithful. Remember in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, I believe it talks about committing to faithful men. You know, that's who we commit to, is faithful men. God is faithful, and we want to be faithful. We want to be faithful stewards in taking care of the spiritual realities that we have. Well, in review and in conclusion, let's remember you are bought with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, paid that which was required so that you and I could be born again of God's Spirit. And we have been called with a high calling, a holy calling, and a heavenly calling. And who has called us? God Almighty. God Almighty, who loves us so much to pay that ultimate price with his Son. He has called us to be in his presence. It's not like he did this and then we're off to the side. No, we're in his presence. We're seated in the heavenlies, the word says. God wants fellowship with us in spite of how we act and who we are. He has called us to be in his presence where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So what is our response to this? Our response is to steward this wonderful grace of God, to serve, to function, you know, to have those sober, whole thoughts. We pray, and we have fervent charity, you know, that love of God. We function. We do our best within the family as God has called us to. And we're faithful. Boy, that's the biggie, right? We're faithful. We stay faithful to what God has called us to do. We're faithful today. We're faithful tomorrow. We're faithful until Christ comes back. We're faithful to serve and take care of this wonderful new birth realities that we have living within. I'd like to close with Dr. Wirwell sharing in this same booklet, The Lifestyle of a Believer. And he says in there, one of the greatest activating principles of human life is the motivation to serve. The principle of service is more powerful than that of financial rewards. A believer's ethics include both love, agape love of God in the renewed mind, and service. Man has free will and is therefore spiritually and morally responsible for his conduct. Man's free will places in his hands the responsibility to direct his own life. To the extent that a man willfully determines to make God's will his will, he will find himself a doulos, bonded slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the inherent and inerrant accuracy of God's word. Being a slave, quote, living a life of service and commitment produces the greatest attainable freedom. Such a paradox. You know, that ends that quote there. You know, the heart of this is that in light of all the greatness that God has abounded toward us, that we make the simple decision to serve Him, to be, like it says, Dr. Werwolf shared, a doulos, a bond slave. And a bond slave is committed to that master. And that master is committed to that bond slave to take full care of that person. And God has already done that, hasn't He? So why not rise up and utilize the Spirit of God that we have in us and serve within the body of Christ? So God bless you. And I trust God's word has meaning to you in light of this subject, and that you will be great stewards of that spirit that you have within. God bless.